Good morning and welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Shmos Revi, the fourth Aliyah in Parshas Shmos. The topic of our Aliyah is the burning bush. We hear now that in our Aliyah, which is an Aliyah of 15 psukim from Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph to Tezvav, the following: Moshe is a shepherd for his father-in-law, whose other name is Yisro, and he is shepherding his sheep in the desert. Rashi tells us because he wants to avoid stealing from other fields. And he arrives in the area of Har Elokim, the mountain of God, Horeb. This is where Sinai is, in the Sinai Peninsula. At this point in time, a angel of Hashem, a force of Hashem, appears in a fire in amongst a bush. And this bush is burning, but it is not being consumed. Moshe says this is very strange. Asura nova ere. I'm going to take a look at this very great, lofty vision. Why is it not burning? Hashem sees that he has turned, and Hashem speaks to him and says, calls Moshe. Moshe. Moshe responds, Hineni, and he says, "Don't come close, because this is a very holy place. Remove your shoes from your feet." And that's what happens. Hashem then gives him the message, which is, "I am the God of your forefathers, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov." And Moshe Rabbeinu hides his face because he is terrified of this apparition, of this vision. Hashem tells him that he has seen the pain, the suffering, and heard the cries of the nation of Israel, of the Hebrews in Mitzrayim, because of all their oppression, and I'm going to go and save them from the land of Egypt, bringing them to a better land, a good land, a wide land, which is going to be the land of Canaan, and take out the replace the nations that already live there now. And Rashi describes that you are going, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to be the one to be the agent of this. You're going to go and I'll send you to Pharaoh, and you will ask him to let my people go. So Moshe Rabbeinu's first response is, "Mi anochi ke'alech l'parah? Who am I to go to him? Chiyozez b'nei zomim Yisrael, that I should be able to take them out of Egypt." Hashem says, "I will be with you, and I'll give you a sign that I sent you, and that is that when I will take the people out of Egypt, they will serve Hashem on Har Hazeh, on this mountain, Mount Sinai." So Moshe Rabbeinu's second response is, "Well, they're going to ask me, Mashamoy, what's his name? What should I say the name of Hashem is?" So Hashem responds very enigmatically by saying, "Eheyeh asher eheyeh, I'll be what I'll be." And then he tells them to tell the nation of Israel, "Ehyeh shlochani aleichem," that the name "Ehyeh," I will be sent you. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is once again asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell them this is his name and to go and release the nation of Israel. So that's a basic summary of our Aliyah. It's a very complicated dialogue. A few basic points to ponder. Number one is, what is the meaning of the burning bush? What's the symbolism that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to learn, that we're supposed to contemplate when understanding this parasha? Chizkuni says it's a very simple equation. The Egypt is the fire, Israel is the bush. Egypt is oppressing Israel, destroying them, but they will not be fully destroyed. So they will be able to outlast their oppressors, and that's what's being told to him as well. One should note that it's important to understand that according to the timeline that Chazal work with, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian for 40 years. So that's a significant amount of time. And for him to be able to see this and understand the metaphor of this meaning, of this apparition, is quite astonishing, in the sense that he was very obviously emotionally connected to his brothers and sisters in Egypt, even though despite the distance and the time that he's able to see this message. The Maharal says it's a little different. He says that this is an indicator of what's called Imoy Anochi V'tzarah. Hashem is with Israel in their suffering, and Hashem is providing a remarkable insight, and that is that when Israel is suffering, I too am suffering with them as well. Not that Hashem, so to speak, suffers, but Hashem is choosing to put his Shechina Begalusa, his divine presence, into a form of exile, while Israel is suffering. This is the first time we're seeing that not just an individual, but a nation matter to Hashem enough for Hashem to be wants to be with them in such a state as well. The Klei Yaakov gives another possibility, and that is maybe that Egypt is the thorn bush. Meaning, why is Egypt the thorn bush? Maybe this is a sign about what's going to happen in the future. Hashem says, "I'm going to afflict the Egyptians, but not fully consume them, in order that I'm able to give more miracles, to produce more plagues against them, like hardening the heart of Pharaoh, in order for this to work." That being the case, that's the sign of what the burning bush is as well. The Klei Yaakov produces another suggestion, which is also maybe the notion of Israel. Koitz, the thorns, are always a representation of those who speak Lashon Hara, those who speak negative speech against each other. And as Moshe Rabbeinu had experienced himself by the people he was trying to help, the two Hebrews who are fighting, they're telling, they are willing to betray him to the authorities for his protecting a Hebrew on the previous day. So Moshe Rabbeinu had seen this firsthand, and what's being said over here, says the Kleakar, is that this idea of thorns burning, which is the idea of this crackling sound, is a sound which is likened to in other places in Tanakh. Kohelet says, Ki kol asirim tachas asir ken kol aksil. The fool's voice is that, like the crackling of thorns, not real fuel, it's just making a lot of noise, does not producing so much heat. That's the sound of the fools, and that refers to the reason why Israel perhaps is in Golos at this time, although they won't be fully consumed. So a lot of different messages that can be seen and understood in the burning bush itself. Now the question is, why must he remove his shoes? So the Ramban suggests that the Shekhinah has descended right now, like it would in the future on Har Sinai, when the Torah would be given, and holy ground requires shoes to be removed. As we see as an example, the Kohanim, priests, serve barefoot in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, where that place is where Hashem's divine presence is, and you have to remove your shoes when in contact with that as well. That's what the Ramban suggests. The Ralbag says it's actually a metaphor for uncovering an idea. That means when Hashem says, remove your shoes, what he's essentially saying is, I would like you to understand. I want you to take off the cover to understand the meaning of this idea. That's the more rational perspective. The Malbim has a very beautiful expose over here. It's a thesis that he has across Tanakh, that the shoe is a metaphor for the body. And what is essentially being said to Moshe Rabbeinu is, I need you to remove your bodily awareness right here to understand the spirituality, to understand the real message, to understand your mission fully right now. That's what he's being asked to. The Malbim goes further to say that if you compare it to later on in Sefer Yehoshua, and Yehoshua removes his shoe when he meets this angel, yeah, at that point in time he only removes one shoe. So Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked to shed all of his bodily awareness, a deeper degree of bodily awareness, in order to be willing to be part of this mission, and that's what's being described in this. So it's not simply just remove your shoes at the door. This is part of and parcel of how Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to operate. Another question is, it says that Hashem says, Tzakosom Shamati, I heard their cries. Is this that they were praying? Were they really religious? Were they able to express prayers to the monotheistic God? So Rav Pinkas points out, Rav Shimshon Pinkas in Sharim Betvila points out that this is one of the many expressions of the notion of prayer, but it's an interesting perspective on prayer, Tzaka, he explains. And this, the chapter which is dedicated to that form of Tvila is wordless prayer, but it's not even a prayer with a destination or a request. It is just a cry in pain. But even that is part of Tvila. So the groans there, Na'akasam and Tzakasam, is really a pain, an expression of pain. And that's what's being expressed over here, just to get a sense of how low, how difficult it was at this point in time. Now the question we can ask over here is, why is Moshe hesitant? Why does he say, Mi Anochi? So I heard a beautiful idea from Rabbi Moshe Hauer, who pointed out the following, and that is that just a perek ago, Moshe Rabbeinu was out on the construction site, and there he was trying to help everybody out. He wanted to save the Hebrew from the Egyptian, he wanted to stop the Hebrews fighting among each other, so surely he's the right candidate to go and help other people. So answer that, why is he so hesitant now? And the suggestion he made is a very beautiful one. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to help people, individuals, one by one. I want to solve this problem, that problem, this oppression. Hashem says, but I want you to save the whole people. In order to do that, you need to enter, you need to be the ambassador of the Hebrew people. You're going to go into the chambers of the Pharaoh and represent them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not the kind of help that I want to provide. I want to help the individuals. I don't want to go and get involved in this all this administration, red tape, and bureaucracy. But Hashem says, this is the way that it's necessary to be able to save wholesale, not just person by person, not relationship by relationship. It's a bigger mission that you are on, and that's the negotiation that's happening right now. Another question we could say is, the very strange sign that Hashem gives him at this point in the conversation is that in the future you're going to see that this nation will serve me at Sinai. Really? How does that help? That's not a sign that's going to help now. That's sort of saying is, well, you know, if you want to know where my credit rating is, well, in the future I'm going to be very successful. That's not helpful. How does that work? So Rashi says, no, the future capacity of success is already in them now. Spiritually speaking, they're worth the investment, essentially, spiritually. They're worth investing in because they will, in the future, hold out. So it's worth investing, as Rashi understands. The Meshech Chochmas is a very different perspective. Rav Meir Simcha Devinsk explains that the greatest hallmark of a leader in the eyes of Hashem is humility. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you just proved why you're the right leader. And anybody who knows this, anybody who works in communal work knows that the people that really want to help them and get involved in a project as a volunteer are the ones who say, I'm not worthy of the project. I shouldn't. Those are the best people. So that's why Hashem is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you just proved your worthiness by saying, who am I? And you know what? You know what the sign is? Is because the people, the place I'm going to choose for this people to receive the law from me is this mountain, Har Chorev, Har Sinai, this place called Sinai, which is the lowest of all the mountains. It's the most humble of all the mountains. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you just mashed yourself up with the divine mission by saying, Mi Anochi. You just proved the whole point of what it is that you're trying to disprove. Now, what is this name of Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh? One should notice, by the way, that Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, this is one of the names which cannot be erased, meaning to say this is a very significant name of the Almighty, and if you have it written down, you're not allowed to erase it, like the Shem Avaya, like the Shem Elohim. What is so special about it? What does it mean? Rashi says very famously, quoting the Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes, that this is about how Hashem is going to be with them in this goddess, in this exile, and in all future exiles, which are in a certain sense extended from the goddess Mitzrayim. And what Moshe Rabbeinu had said to Hashem is, Hashem, don't talk about the future exiles, because that's too hard, it's too difficult for us to contemplate, which is why Hashem just says, Ashlachani Aleichem, that Hashem promises to be in the future. B'chor Shor, Rav Yosef B'chor Shor, says that perhaps it is actually another form of the name Hashem Havaya, which is the most imminent name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, and then the Hey, and it's just switched out as the Yud and Aleph, and the Yud and the Vav, it's really the name of Hashem. Some even suggest, he quotes one possibility, that it's almost reflective of who's saying it. So let's say when a person says, I'm going to do something, they say, Ani Anochi Easeh. When a person says on the outside, if they will do it, they say, Hu Yaaseh, with a Yud. So perhaps the Shem Avaya, Yud Hey, and the Nevav and Hey, is from the outside describing Hashem. When he describes himself, it's I will be, which is the way it's expressing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Ksava Kabbalah says that it refers to two ideas, the idea of Ehyeh and Ehyeh again. One is the capacity, the ability, as he says in Yiddish, Ich kann sein, and the other is not capacity or ability, but rather the Rotzein, the will to, Was ich will sein, as he says in Yiddish. That means to say, what I want to do. And so he says that what this means is that Hashem has the capacity, and Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, to express himself in this world in very different modalities. I can be Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. I can be the one who expresses himself through nature. I can be above nature. I can be through history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different ways of expressing in the world, and Hashem says, I can choose whichever modality of operation to be in this world. That is who I am. So don't limit me to being one name specifically. That's how Rabbi Yaakov C. Mecklenburg understands this as well. With this, we close the fourth Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.